You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Hello, my name is Michael Harriet, and we return back with another episode of The Griot Daily. This week, we are going to be talking about some of the mythology behind policing, because there's a lot of stuff that you believe about policing that is almost certainly not true. And we're going to be delving into that topic this week with facts, with figures, and with the question that this episode is going to center around.
I'm world-famous white peopleologist Michael Harriet, and this is The Griot Daily.
The only podcast that'll ask, why wouldn't we abolish the police? Like seriously, you know, there are a growing number of people who have moved from defund the police, from reforming the police, to abolishing the police. And while that sounds like a radical idea, it's not really that radical when you think about it. And I'm going to explain why during this episode. First of all, one of the reasons people are against abolishing the police is that they say, well, man, crime would skyrocket. And, you know, people would be hurt, and whose traffic would be crazy, and who's going to enforce the law? Like, that's the thing, right? Nobody has ever suggested that we would abolish the police and not replace it with anything. And that's why, that the reason why people are in the mindset that they think that is an absurd idea is because of how we think about policing. Policing is a word that means to control. And we equate policing, for some reason in America, with enforcing the law, with stopping crime, with solving crime, with preventing crime, and with, like, keeping people safe, public safety. But those things, those aren't synonyms, right? Like, policing is a whole different thing than public safety. Policing is not a synonym for enforcing the law. Policing is not a synonym for keeping people, you know, safe or directing traffic. Policing is a whole different thing, right? Policing is watching, controlling, and police don't have to do that, right? So that's what we want to get rid of. When we say get rid of the police, we don't mean stop solving crimes. We don't mean stop keeping people safe. We don't mean stop enforcing the law. We mean abolish policing. Now, some people ask, well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, let's start with who are police officers? In this country, the average police officer has to take about 830 hours of training to become a certified police officer. They usually attend a police academy, a certified police academy, most of which are run by states. Well, when the Bureau of Justice Statistics looked at these police academies, they found, first of all, like police, when you look at what police are trained to do at these academies, they spend most of their time learning how to shoot. Like 70 plus hours a week of their 833 hours are about learning shooting firearm stuff, right? And then the second one is what they call defensive tactics. And that might sound like they're teaching police officers how to defend themselves. No, that means that they're teaching police officers how, for instance, a defensive tactic is a chokehold, a takedown, how to handcuff somebody, all of those things, how to tase somebody, all of that are considered defensive tactics. So, you know, the majority of police time, when you combine also less than lethal weapons, the bulk of their time is spent learning how to subdue, hurt, or kill people. There's no, you know, question about that. And then the next part of their time, right, isn't about learning, like, the law, right? They spend twice as much time learning how to subdue, hurt, or kill people than they spend learning traffic laws and constitutional laws. Like, they don't really spend that much time learning how to do that. They don't really spend that much time learning how to investigate. They don't really spend that much time learning community collaboration. They don't really spend that time, very little time, learning cultural sensitivity. So, and then in many states, you have to be 18 to be a police officer. Some others, you have to be 21. But can you see what we're doing, right? We're taking 18, 21-year-old dudes who like were playing high school football last year, giving them guns, teaching them to shoot, teaching them not how to be culturally sensitive and competent, and then saying, I wonder why they shoot so many black people. Because we taught them to do that. And the second thing is, the second myth is about crime solving, right? Police, you know, according to the Associated Press, according to studies, police solve about 2% of all major crimes. And that's for a number of reasons. First of all, like half of crimes aren't reported. Most crimes aren't reported. Secondly, the crimes that are reported, you know, police kind of don't really, like, police ain't going out and looking for your TV, bro. I'm telling you, you can call the police when your house is broken into, but they're not like going to apprehend somebody or go on a stakeout to find your, you know, flat screen. I'm just telling you. So when it comes to murders, rapes, major crimes, one of the things that people don't understand is most of those crimes are committed by someone who knows the victim, right? The offender knows the victim in most crimes. So that's the majority of the crimes they solve, right? And then the other ones they solve by happenstance. They'll just stop a car and find a gun that belongs to somebody who killed somebody. Or they might stop a car and find somebody who had a warrant out for their arrest because the police already knew who did it because the person who they did it to told, right? So that's a lot of crime. But the part we don't talk about a lot is what we call police-created crime, right? So when we look at crime statistics, for instance, comparing black neighborhoods to white neighborhoods, we say, well, the black neighborhoods have a lot more crime. But that's sometimes is because of police-created crime. Here's an example, right? So police go to a corner and stop and frisk people, and they find marijuana on them. Now, nobody reported that crime, right? That crime only existed when the police stopped somebody and frisked them and found that marijuana. Nobody was being harmed, but that goes down as a crime that police stopped or solved or prevented, right? Another one, a great instance of this is criminalizing poverty, right? So say you get stopped by police. Now, most police traffic stops are most responsible than anything else for people being brutalized or killed, right, by cops. But say the police stop you and, you know, you were speeding or you get a traffic ticket or, you know, you didn't have your license with you, your car wasn't insured, and you can't pay the ticket for whatever reason. Maybe you don't have the money, maybe you're out of work. Well, when you don't pay that ticket, that puts a warrant out on you. Some places it's a misdemeanor. Some places it can rise to a felony depending on the number and the amount of the ticket or the offense that the police wrote you the ticket for. Well, if you're in the car with somebody else and that person gets stopped and you have that warrant out for you, the police can take you in, and that goes down as them solving a crime, apprehending a fugitive. But it was a police-created crime, right? Like, they wrote you that ticket. They were the ones who were performing traffic stops, not necessarily. And we know from studies that, like patrolling traffic doesn't make people generally drive slower when police aren't there. And the same thing is true with drugs, right? So as we talked about that marijuana stop, right? Or like even when they bust in somebody's house to arrest them for cocaine. Well, we know that arresting somebody for cocaine or drug possession in general doesn't lower the use of drugs, doesn't have an effect on the drug use rate in a city, right? So it is a thing where police are creating this situation that doesn't solve the problem. They're not lowering drug use. They're not affecting the rate of use for drugs. So back to abolishing police. What would we do if we abolish the police? Well, if we want to for instance, solve a crime? Well, what we would do is hire more educated people, perhaps people who have been to college and gotten a degree in criminology. And if we hired really qualified police officers, what would happen is colleges would create courses for people to specialize in policing, and policing wouldn't be taught by other police officers who have already brutalized people, right? And so we hire investigators to investigate. We hire drug people to lower the drug rate. We hire people who are experienced, who know about traffic, to make traffic stops. And those people don't have to have guns, right? Because cops get shot. You're right, cops get shot during traffic stops because even if it's a criminal, they shoot the cop because they know the cop has a gun, right? So if there's a cop, not a cop, it might be confrontational, but it probably won't end or result in somebody losing their life. So we got traffic people doing traffic stuff. We got, you know, investigators investigating. We got drug people stopping the drug raid. Then we got people who actually know the law enforcing the law. So when you call into 911 and there is a legal dispute or a dispute between neighbors or some kind of law being broken, they would send an investigator, or they would send somebody skilled at mental health, if there was a mental health emergency, or an EMT, or an investigator if there was a crime being committed. And of course, we're going to need people with guns. I don't deny that. And those people don't have to be police. Those people would be concerned with public safety. Well, how do we get those people? What we've done is culled that people with guns force down to so few people that we would have to hire, because we would be able to hire, the most highly trained, the most skilled people in those positions. And so it probably wouldn't be some dude who was on the high school linebacking corps at regular school high last year, right? It would be someone who was qualified to fill those positions. They would have to have the education, and that education would be provided not by police, but by people who have the same goal of stopping crime and ending crime as we do. And what would happen is fewer people would get shot because, one, fewer people who investigate crimes would have guns. And two, what would happen is the people who have the guns wouldn't be as gung-ho about shooting black people because they weren't trained by people who shoot black people. They weren't protected by people who have shot black people in the past before they made detective. They wouldn't be guided by the People Who Shot Black People Union, right? All of this contributes to the police killing black people. And the only way to do it is to solve the problem that we have now. Here is the thing. Let's say none of what I said is correct. I'm going to offer you an option. We're going to start from zero, and we're going to figure out a way to fight crime, to enforce laws, and to keep people safe. Would you first start with, hey, let's give people guns and see what happens? There's no way that you would. And that's why the first step to solving crimes, enforcing laws, and keeping people safe is to abolish the police. It's just that simple. And that's why we have to subscribe to this podcast. That's why you got to tell a friend about it. That's why you got to download that GRIO app, that GRIO streaming service. And that's why we always leave you with a saying from Black America. And today's saying is, abolish the police or kill black people. There's only one choice. We'll see you next time at the GRIO Daily.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the GRIO app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegrio.com.
You are now listening to The Grio's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified. Coming this February, The Grio Black Podcast Network presents Dear Culture, truish Black stories.
When you think of sheer artistry, sheer creativity, the ability for someone to bring Black people together in the most fundamental ways, it's, you know, I would say, of my four, Randy Watson's my number one.
When the news about Ricky first broke, what I heard about it is the thing you hear about, you know, every time somebody Black dies, that it was gang related. That means the police don't know what happened, so they just said, probably the gangs, probably, you know, the other Black dudes.
When I think of Akilah, you know, I just think about how impressionable white people can be. I think about how, you know, if you watch that movie again, you know, if you should have lost like three times.
Where were you when you heard the story about them suckers getting served by Wade's dance crew?
You know, it's crazy that you mention this. So as a New Yorker, right, everyone knows where they were on 9/11, right? You know, a couple years later, right, 2003, everyone hears about this crazy moment in a boxing ring, because that's where dancers duke it out, right? In boxing rings.
If you could say something to Ricky right now, what would you say to him?
Ricky, you shouldn't have never got that girl pregnant. You knew I had a crush on you. You should have got with me instead.
Moments in Black culture examined like never before. Join us each week as we dive into the Black moments that changed us, that changed the world. Make sure to subscribe to Dear Culture so you never miss an episode.